You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
To kick off, the album is out. It's called You. It's your debut album. And it's been 4 years since your first EP was released?
That's right, yeah. So it came out in, I think, 2012. Like, yeah, June, something like that. So well, that was my first EP that I did.
Right.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
I noticed there's a sort of progression in terms of how your sound changes over the last sort of 4 years or so between sort of the first EP.
That's right.
And the latest album, like, what do you feel has changed production-wise, writing-wise?
I think with each of the EPs, I can kind of look at them and I can go, there's quite a distinct story behind each one, and maybe that results in why it sounds different, you know. I don't think consciously I made an effort to kind of make a different kind of sound on each EP, but I think that what's happened is my life probably just changed, and I can think, oh, okay, cool. So on the first EP, I was living in Brighton, I was, like, super happy, like, hanging out, and I was just literally making music next to the sea and really kind of, like, having quite a relaxed life, and I can hear that in there. And the second EP, I had moved back to London, and I had no money, and I was living with my mum. I think it was called Tonight, that EP, and it was, like, I wasn't signed to a label, so I started my own label and stuff, and put it out myself, and it's just a bit darker and kind of maybe a bit more dreary, I think. And then the third EP, because I think the second EP maybe caught a few people's ears, I was then, like, put in a situation where I could work with people, and I wrote some songs with people like Leanne and Will Hurd, and then the fourth thing is my album. So yeah, after that I did that. So yeah, it's just funny how it all changes. But yeah, I always try and do something new, but I don't try and do something new for the sake of it. I try and think, okay, what's an interesting way to augment the quote-unquote tourist kind of sound? And but it goes through a few iterations, but hopefully it feels as though there's a line between all of them.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the things that, like, I've noticed personally as a listener is, like, I got exposed to you first when Together was put on the Ministry of Sound annual in 2014.
Oh,
and, yeah, and that was really kind of progressive house, and I listened to the album and I was like, oh, there's a bit of garage in here, there's a bit of trap, there's a bit of, like, deep house, a bit of electro house, you know, like, it's a whole load of different styles sort of crashing together. So were you meaning to do that when you wrote the songs like that?
I suppose I don't really DJ, so I don't think of genres in the slightest when I write music. I really don't. I just think of sounds, and I don't ever think I'm a deep house producer or I'm an electronic artist. I just don't think of myself like that. I just don't care. I don't care enough to be in a scene. I'm not a DJ, so I never have to curate a specific type of sound. I literally just try and make sounds that I like, and those sounds generally tend to be electronic ones. And when I think of artists I like Royksopp or people like that, you'd struggle to try and define musically what they do, but you just probably call it electronic music. And I think aligning myself with that then kind of helps me in the future with writing, because it means I don't have to, you know, I don't have to limit myself to being a garage producer or a house producer or whatever. I could just be an electronic artist, which is how I try and think of myself. So yeah, that's maybe why it might have been a bit of a surprise to hear a tune which, Together, you know, I was listening to a lot of, like, French house at that point, and I think maybe just came across. I just produce what I like, really. I think that's how I think of it. Yeah.
You also had a new remix out that was, like, 7 days ago. It was St. Claude by,
that's right, yeah,
Christine and the Queens. That had a really kind of, like, there was a lot of kind of tropical sounds going on there on that remix. Like,
yeah.
When you're remixing a song, is that a collaboration with the artist? Is that just you picking a song and just going, yeah, I really like this, I'm going to put my own spin on it? Or
I think the internet allows people to decide that they can remix any track they want, which is fine, but I don't do that. I remix tracks that I'm asked to remix. So Christine and the Queens, her kind of team or whatever, they reached out to my team and they said, hey, would Will like to remix this tune? And I heard it and I was like, absolutely yes. I think I'm the first remix of any track that she's ever accepted. You know, that sounds a little bit egotistical, but I'm actually quite proud of the fact that she literally has said no to every other remix apart from mine, you know. So, yeah, I think that process was really enjoyable, to try and do something that felt a little bit out of my sphere. And I think I just love her voice. I think she's the most exciting pop artist on the planet. And I think it was just a real pleasure to be asked to do that. And maybe I was feeling somewhat tropical when I made it, but I don't really remember.
But a lot of the people I've ran into have found you through that remix you did of Lies by Churches.
Oh yeah, Churches.
So they came to you and asked you to remix their tune?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right, yeah. I see. On sort of a different note, not a lot of people might know, but you did in fact co-write Stay With Me by Sam Smith. What was that like, writing that? So, like, how did it all go down?
Actually, I write quite a lot of pop music with other people. I think, like, if you were to go on Universal Music Publishing, you could look at the songs that I've written, and, like, Jesse Ware, Lapsley. There's quite a few people that I've worked with, and Sam is just one of them, and I think I wrote that song, what, about 3 years ago with him and Jimmy. We just sat in a studio and they said, Will, do you have any kind of piano chords or anything that you like? And I played those, and then they wrote the song around that. And yeah, Sam had a pretty big career off all of his album and stuff. And it's strange to be part of that story because I don't feel very connected to it. But yeah, what can I say? It's like a record that was very big and it did pretty well. And yeah, it doesn't really sound like my tourist music, but, you know, I kind of found out that I quite like writing songs for other people, and one of them got quite big, and, you know, that's... But it's funny, really, yeah, I've always kind of been a songwriter, producer, slash artist, and I think not a lot of people know that I do it, but yeah, I do.
How long have you been doing that for, like, writing pop music?
Well, I've always done it, really, since being a musician, just written different types of music. I thought, okay, cool, well, this works not for me, but it might work for someone else, you know, so that's just always been part of what I do.
Just back to the new album, like, what song have you received the most feedback from, be it media, be it people you've met around the place, other musicians? Like, is there a particular song on your album that you've heard on and on, people go, that song, that tune is stellar?
I think people like Run or Waves or Wait, things like that. I don't really know. I try and switch myself off from listening to the opinion of people, because then I start relying on it for self-worth. But yeah, I don't know, but you know, I'm literally looking at Spotify right now to see what the most popular one is. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
All right.
Maybe when I play music, people seem to like Run, you know, which is the,
yeah,
you know, one of the songs in there. And yeah, it's, you know, it's between being serviced to the media in the right way against being what actually people like, you know, like, so songs that get big might just be because radio play them, but that doesn't mean they're good, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And with the internet, you kind of, you're in this position now where you can have a very, 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 very popular piece of music that, and no one on the radio has played it, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Run seems to be most popular, but that was played on the radio, and that was, people were listening to that on the internet as well, so yeah, I don't know which is most popular.
Right.
I find it difficult to talk about, but
yeah. Yeah, no, fair dues. Yeah. Different note as well, collaboration you mentioned with Leanne LaHavas a couple of years ago, like, because that seems to be sort of the only sort of collaboration you've got on your music from what I could find, unless
there's a few. Holding On, which is another song I did, and then there's one called I Can't Keep Up, Will Hurd. There's about three or four tourist songs, so to speak, that have been kind of,
yeah,
you know, like collaborations, but there will be more in the future.
But like, how did that go with Leanne LaHavas? Because it is like, it's, you know, she's quite, you know, she's become quite a big pop artist, and she generally kind of gravitates towards kind of more of an R&B and sort of instrumental based sound. So like, having her on an more electronic track, like, how did that sort of go down with her? Was there any difference really working that way with her?
I'm not really sure. I think kind of, you know, I think she knew when we went into the process of writing, I think she knew that I wasn't an R&B producer or someone who wrote kind of soul music. So I think she knew what she was expecting. So I don't think there was any kind of massive, like, oh, well, this is going to be like a Dalty track moment. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was enjoyable. I think I looked at her voice as an instrument and, you know, her kind of... I felt as though that would be an interesting counterpoint to my music, so yeah, that's why we did it. I don't think there was any struggle, or I think we all knew what we were in for when we started writing it, so yeah.
As for like equipment that you're using when you're sort of creating your music, what do you generally use? Do you go fairly analog on certain tunes? Do you go for sort of more sort of PC based, Mac based sort of programs, like, or is it a mix of stuff, or what do you generally find you're using?
It's a mixture of lots of things. Yeah, I have like analog synths, so most of it's analog synths, so like a Juno 106 and then a Moog, and then some like drum machines and things. And yeah, I try and start with real instruments and then try and, you know, make them into something that, you know, order them with a computer as opposed to, you know, I think ultimately I don't even think about where these sounds come from. I just think, what are they as sounds? I think people get very snobby about these kind of things. and it's kind of needless. I just think, how does it sound? And I think that's the beauty of a computer, is that you never know anymore. So I try, you know, I do have a few analog synths because I like them, but they don't write good music for me. I have to really make them work. So yeah, it's a mixture of things. Yeah.
Okay. So you say, so like your songs, so say for the new album, those songs, most of those songs would have started off with, say, a piano or a guitar or something along those lines.
Yeah, so, pretty much. Yeah, well, normally a piano, yeah.
Right. Okay. That's really interesting. That's going to give me a whole new perspective on listening to your music now. Oh, not really finally, actually. Well, being based in London, because you are based in London at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. What have you noticed about sort of the sort of state of, you know, dance music culture, the popularity of it all, you know, the sort of reception of electronic music at the moment over in London? Because I've seen that, you know, a lot of nightclubs are closing down at the moment, and so I guess I was going to sort of ask, like, you know, is there still an outlet for it? Is there still a lot of outlets for it? Like, are producers and DJs, do you find they still have places to be able to go and sort of show off their craft to punters?
Mm. Well, I think there's probably, yeah, I mean, you know, there's one more open now, which was closed, which was Fabric, which has actually just been announced that it's reopening, which is great news. So I suppose you've caught my thoughts on this situation, like at the apex of something very good happening, because it's been quite a doom and gloom year for culture and music and politics and people dying, so it's been quite a shit year for the world. But I think, you know, the fact is, people are always going to want to make music, and people are always going to want to listen to music, and some of that music will be electronic. Electronic music sounds best in rooms and clubs, and, you know, there's always going to be a market for that. And if there are no safe spaces made by, companies that are, have the best interests of those people at heart, then people will make them. People will have parties in car parks if they want to. You know, there's always going to be a subsection of culture who want that. So if it's not provided safely by, the city, then it will be made by people who want to start their own thing, and then it will probably end up becoming something. But yeah, you know, Fabric has just reopened, which is good, and yeah, it's ridiculous. If they think there's any issue with people ingesting substances that are toxic, then they should probably close every single pub corner in the UK, in London, in the city. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you can't morally link nightclubs to reprehensible behaviour. You could say that as like people who work in the banking industry drink too much, or, you know, do you know what I mean? It's like there's no link between those things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like it's fine. It will take care of itself. You know, the world will keep turning, and there will be places for people to share, create, and, you know, meet strangers and have a good night. And yeah, that will always be the case. I played in Manchester on the weekend at the Warehouse Project, and it was great. And it works when it works. So yeah, I don't see that. I don't really see there being any problem with that.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. I was also going to ask out of curiosity, like, just sort of one more thing. Were you doing much in the way of music before Tourist started? Because Tourist released the first EP. The first Tourist EP came out in 2012. So, were you doing music? Were you involved in music before that then?
I was always writing music, but I would have been like working in a coffee shop or something like that, so to pay my rent, you know. So, it wasn't until 2012, I think, when I had my kind of first release and then thought, yeah, this is something I can do for a living. But I've always done music, you know, since I was a child.
Yeah, okay. And sort of just absolutely last question, just totally off the sort of off the record, because I'm not going to include this, but this is for my own interest. What would you kind of say to someone who's kind of producing and starting out, and, you know, how what would be the advice you'd give to kind of get them into it?
I mean, I don't feel very well equipped to offer advice to people because I don't view myself as someone who I admire. But I feel like you have to go to the weird places and really push yourself. There's so much music out there that you should expose yourself to it. You should expose yourself to culture, and you should expose yourself to things you don't understand, because they will enrich you. And I think the less that people think about it in terms of being a career-driven producer, the better. I think the more you look at yourself as someone who just wants to express something that feels universal, then I think that's better. I think if you look at yourself as someone who tries to create something that will outlive you, I think that's better than looking at yourself as a producer who wants to get some tips. I think, yeah, for me, what's key is that you say something that's human and that hasn't been said before, and I think that's what it's about. I don't really go in the studio and think, well, I'm going to make a house music album, I'm going to make an instrumental EP. I don't really think like that. I just try and make something that feels true. Yeah, I like that quote. It says, just try one true thing down and then everything will take care of itself. Which I like, you know. I just think, try and make something honest.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Torres, thank you for joining me. You are playing at St. Jerome's Laneway Festival in Auckland on January the 30th, I believe. I'll be going, I'm sure many BFM listeners will be going, obviously you'll be going as well. I'll see you, hopefully see you up on stage then.
Great, looking forward to it.
All right, cool.
Thanks very much.
Take care, and enjoy your trip down here.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Cheers.
All right, no worries, take care, bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.